If we're honest, it's easy to forget to rely on God and His good grace. But this is exactly what we need to do if we want to be humble followers of Jesus Christ. In a recent conference address, Elder Koch said humility is a vital catalyst for spiritual growth and a mandatory requirement for us to be ready to return to the presence of God. Today, we're exploring what humility looks like for women who strive to come unto Christ. We are women who love God and want to use our influence for good. No matter how ordinary we may feel, we each have a powerful purpose in the gospel of Jesus Christ. This is our time to step forward, to love fiercely, to lead boldly, to live happily, to fill the world with His light. Let's do it together on the Magnify Podcast. I'm your podcast host, Catherine Davis, and joining me today is Andrea Cabrera. Andrea works in marketing and has a background in broadcast journalism. Her interest in interacting and connecting with women is why we're so excited to chat with her today. Well, Andrea, welcome to the podcast. We're so excited you're here.
Thank you, Catherine. I'm really excited to chat with you.
Well, I heard that you recently moved from Southern California to Idaho. How's that going for you?
Oh, yes. Well, first of all, I never imagined myself living in Idaho, but it just kind of happened to work out the way it did. And I've been loving Idaho. I have like a rock climbing gym, like 15 minutes from me. I went rock climbing last weekend and it was super fun. And we're kind of in this area of Idaho that's, they call it kind of like the pocket of sunshine in Idaho because the weather is just always really nice. And if it does snow, we don't get too much of it. Sometimes, rare occasions, you know, we get these big snowstorms, but I've been loving the weather. I'm ready for the sun. I'm ready for that, for the summer coming. So it's been great.
I love that. I wish we had good weather.
Well, Utah people, sorry. I'm just kidding. Yeah.
Well, as we get into this conversation today, let me give a bit of context about what we're going to be talking about. And especially as we start talking about humility. And let me read this quote from Elder Koch's talk, Humble to Accept and Follow. He says this, "We all like to think we are sufficiently humble, but some experiences in life make us realize that the natural, prideful man or woman often is very much alive within us." Mm-hmm. Andrea, can you relate to that? When does a need for humility crop up in your life?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I love that you said, how does humility, you know, crop up on you? Because, you know, what I thought was, yeah, how does it creep up on me? Because it totally does. And I'll share this silly story that happened to me. For Christmas, for example, just this past Christmas, I was in Utah visiting my family and doing some last minute Christmas shopping right before the holidays. I took some of my siblings with me so we could finish our shopping. And my little sister knows I love Lululemon. So she really wanted to get me something from Lululemon, but she wanted it to be a surprise. But she didn't quite realize, I mean, Lulu can't, there's some things in there that, you know, they can be kind of pricey. And so as soon as she walked into the store, she just kind of saw the price tags and she was like, oh, like in her little, you know, she just turned 13 this year, but she was still 12 for Christmas. And anyway, she like just saw the price tag. She was like, oh my gosh, you know? And she looked at the price tags, but she was like, I really want to get you something though. I was like, okay. But I want it to be a surprise. And so I just kind of picked a few items for her to have the choice to choose from that were like some of the little accessories there that were like $10, maybe $20, you know? But then when she was picking something else for some of my other siblings, she was picking a few things that were kind of bigger, or I guess better, if you want to call it that. And all of a sudden I kind of had this thought. I was like, oh man, I want the bigger like Christmas present. And then I was like, Andrea, that doesn't even matter. What matters is that she was wanting to give you something. She wanted to make it this surprise for you. And I was like, oh my gosh, just little things like that, that sometimes I guess can creep up on us. And it can be something as simple as that, you know, but sometimes we just have to think about the things that matter most And the things that matter most are the things that come from the heart.
So how would you define humility?
I would define humility as being aligned in your heart, mind, and soul with the things of God and the things that God wants to teach you. Even when it's hard to admit that there's things to be taught, there's things to be learned, but it's the aligning of that heart, mind, and soul that make us teachable and that make us more Christ-like. That's humility for me.
So why do you think this is such an important Christ-like characteristic or attribute?
I honestly, Catherine, think that the reason why humility is so important, especially in this day and age, is because we're being surrounded by a lot of voices, by a lot of noise, by a lot of opinions that can cause a lot of confusion and can sometimes paint pictures that can seem scary. And it is now more than ever before so important to have that humility to accept that we need to be taught and to find our answers from the right sources and to be humble enough to not allow ourselves to be submitted to our maybe innate emotions that just kind of creep up on us and to turn to the light, to turn to the source of truth, which is Jesus Christ and our heavenly parents.
Which is so vital in today's age, like you were saying.
Yeah.
Whether we're on social media and we hear
exactly.
from influencers
yeah.
and to be able to be humble enough to go to the correct sources for truth. And I think to find and develop this attribute is for sure an ongoing struggle for a lot of us. And
Amen.
And I know that
yeah.
Right? And to see how women are trying to develop this attribute in your lives. I know you went around and you interviewed different women from different stages of life to mm-hmm. to get their perspectives. And so let's dive into that. But first, will you set us up by telling what questions you asked them specifically about humility?
Yeah, we expanded a little bit more on Elder Koch's talk, Humble to Accept and Follow. And I asked him a few questions about this and how in the beginning of his talk, he mentions some very relatable stories of, you know, experiences where he realized he had to be humble. And I asked them to share with me experiences of situations or experiences where they've been faced with something where they had to choose to be humble. I also asked them a little bit more about, there's a quote in there in his talk where he mentions, above all, in developing humility, we must also understand and accept that we are not able to overcome our challenges or to achieve our full potential through our own efforts only. The world loves to say, and the people of the world love to say, that everything they've achieved, their success, their honor, their fame, their fortune, was through their own efforts only. And they failed to recognize the higher hand, the higher being, the higher power that moves all. And that gives us a lot of the things that we've been given and blessed with. And I asked them specifically experiences where they had to rely on the Lord to overcome certain challenges, right? And to not just rely on their own strengths and their own knowledge and their own efforts. And then lastly, we also just talked about how at the very end, another very relatable story that Elder Koch talks about was he was in this taxi about to go head to this situation, he describes it, that was very overwhelming and a lot of things that he had to figure out. Taxi driver notices that there's something, a negative halo is what the taxi driver said around Elder Koch. And he asked him like, well, hey, well, have you done everything in your power to overcome this or to do everything to fix this? And Elder Koch was like, oh, yes, I have. And taxi driver says, well, then just leave everything in God's hands. And so I also asked them to share with me experiences where they've had to leave everything in God's hands and how they found the courage to do that.
Those are three interesting questions to really consider. What is humility? A time when they or we chose to be humble, and a time when you left everything in God's hands.
Yes.
And I know the first woman you interviewed was Tressa from Los Angeles, California.
Mm-hmm.
Why did you ask to chat with Tressa?
My experience with Tressa was so fun. because we met, we were in the ward together, and she, my first encounter with her was coming up to me after I gave a talk, and she introduced herself, and that's where our friendship began. She's quite a few years older than me. She's got a few kids, but what I found so beautiful about this friendship was that, you know, age doesn't matter. And as women, we are part of this organization and this community that we build where we can uplift each other. And that's what Tressa did for me, because my time in California, there were a few difficult things that were happening in my life. And there were just things we were trying to figure out with our job and our situation. And Tressa was there for me. And she really was a friend. And what was really funny about it was at the very end, right before I left from California to move to Idaho, we just stopped by their door, by their house to say bye, and realized that, you know, I knew that she was my ministering sister, but I didn't realize that she had no idea that she was my ministering sister. So at the end of the day, we figured out that she had been ministering to me without realizing that she was my ministering sister. And that to me was the most perfect example of what ministering is. So that's why I decided to talk to Tressa.
Well, what stood out to you about her experience with humility?
Tressa is very bold. Tressa has an opinion. Like she is very confident, very, very powerful in just the way she is as a friend and tries to help you. And something that really stood out to me was how real and raw she was at admitting that she needs humility in her life, you know? And the biggest thing that stood out to me that she mentioned throughout the conversations we had and the experiences she shared was that humility starts with hope. Here's what she said.
I think that humility starts with hope. For me, when I've been in those phases of life where I didn't have hope that I could change or grow, that's when I've been the least humble. For some reason, I don't know if it was some of those, you know, misinformed talks or well-intentioned talks that were given where it was like, you can make a mistake and repent, but try not to. And I think they're very well-intentioned, but really the message that's sent to me is that, you know, the atonement of Jesus Christ is out there, but try not to have to use it.
Man, relatable, huh?
Yeah, that image of hope. How powerful is that?
Yeah.
And I love how she said that sometimes we feel like we understand repentance, but we shouldn't have to use repentance. And I truly believe that if we understand the power of repentance in the atonement of Jesus Christ, this should be the easiest community to make a mistake in. Our wards, our congregations, our homes, we should be able to make a mistake, but yet it often mm-hmm. feels like it's the last place where we can admit that we've made a mistake. And Andrea, what do you think we could do differently to change this perspective?
Oh my goodness. $1 million question there. The first thing that comes to my mind is some things I was studying from the Book of Mormon a few weeks ago. There was something that just kind of dawned on me that I hadn't quite ever thought about before when it comes to the atonement of Jesus Christ. And the scriptures describe the atonement of Jesus Christ in so many different ways, right? But one of the most powerful words that I think they use is infinite. It's not finite. It's infinite, eternal, ongoing, everlasting. And the reason why, for some reason, it just finally dawned on me was because if you really think about that word and what it means, well, it means it's never going to run out. It's never going to be cut short. If the person halfway across the world needs to use the atonement, if my other sisters in the Relief Society for some reason need to tap into that power of the atonement, it doesn't mean that I won't be able to. It doesn't mean that there won't be enough of it for me. It's infinite. And when I realized that, I think it made it so powerful because everything is covered. Even the things that I don't know or realize that I'll need the atonement for.
Well, I think it's a message of hope, which I think there is so much to learn. But I know that the next person you spoke to is Laura. And what did you ask to chat with Laura about?
With Laura, it was really interesting because Laura, out of the three women that I spoke to, I don't Laura is the one that I actually have never met in person. I had only ever talked to her through social media, and I had reached out to her through social media while I was going through some difficult, just navigating my emotions and some questions that I had while doing my engagement. And I was just like really overwhelmed. And it was really beautiful because she makes a lot of really uplifting social media content, especially about sharing her thoughts as a faithful disciple, woman of Jesus Christ. She shares a lot of her perspectives on what she believes is good and true and a good influence for good that the world needs to see. So when I was trying to think of women to speak to, I recalled that previous experience I had with her, which was very positive when I got to chat with her through social media. And I took that as inspiration to reach out to her. And so specifically with Laura as well, I asked her about some of her personal experiences with humility. And what she said was that humility is being teachable. And take a listen to this, Catherine.
Humility really is being teachable. Pride is in both of the extremes. We tend to think of it as only when we're feeling better than someone else or being puffed up. But the same is true on kind of the opposite extreme of feeling like, yeah, like we'll never be good enough. I can't do that. Woe is me. I'm a victim. On both ends of that pride scale, whatever you want to call that, we're closing ourselves off to being teachable and to growing closer to Jesus Christ.
I think sometimes we don't look at pride in the extremes, like she was saying. Sometimes we think if we beat ourselves up, oh, I'm not good at this, or I'm not as great as they are, we're being humble.
Yes.
But that's not what she is saying. Yeah. So tell me more what you took away from Laura.
Yeah, I think you hit it right on point there, Catherine, because sometimes we have this false perception of what humility is, right? Where we think we have to be, oh, like almost like downplaying our potential, where we have to downplay our gifts or downplay what we're capable of in order to not stand out or in order to not shine above the rest, and not necessarily in like a prideful shine, right? But we feel like, oh, if I, you know, like practice or show these gifts to my full capacity, then maybe I'm not being humble enough, you know? But I think that's not being humble, because we know that women, as we've heard in general conference talks and what our dear prophet has said, is that women are going to be a major force for good in the last days. And in order to be able to be a major force for good in the last days, we have to let our light shine. And letting our light shine doesn't mean you're not being humble. So I loved that. And by letting our light shine, that's when we can be the most teachable as well, because we're put in situations or faced with certain maybe things that we have to figure out where God has placed us there because we need to learn.
Well, I even think, can I be humble enough to ask Heavenly Father what my gifts and talents are, and then be humble enough to own those gifts and talents and use them? That is humility. And we never think of it that way.
No.
But I think humility is power and humility is strength. And that's what we're beginning to learn and why it's important to develop those characteristics, like you said, is if we're going to share our light and shine our light, your strengths are going to be very different than my strengths. And so can we ask God what our strengths are? Have you ever done that, Andrea? Have you ever asked God what your strengths are?
I love that you asked me this, Catherine, because it reminded me, I think this is when I was like in Young Women's, I heard this once from my group of leaders. I mean, you know, in Young Women's, you're growing up and trying to figure yourself out, but it doesn't just stop after we graduate from Young Women's to Relief Society. It continues.
I hope not.
The early, amen. But it feels like the early stages, right, of like trying to really go through the process of figuring out for the first time who you are and those talents and gifts you've been given. And so I had some wonderful leaders who inspired us and gave a lesson about how in order to find those divine gifts and talents that we've been given, then what better way to receive the answers than by praying and asking Heavenly Father to help you see your divine worth. And I think that's so beautiful, because when do we ever think that a prayer can be about that? When do we ever think that a prayer can be that personal? You know, I will say, I think I need to do that. I haven't done it in a while, but the times that I have done that, I just remember it's always feelings that I tend to remember, maybe not so much the exact things that were going on in that moment, but just the feeling of just overwhelming peace, power, and strength to shine brighter than maybe I had been brave enough to shine. And what more beautiful way to be a light unto the world than by doing that?
Yeah, and I think that's part of humility, is being teachable, because at different stages and phases in our life, maybe our strengths are going to be different.
Yeah.
And being open to realize that I'm in a different stage right now of my life than I was on my mission or as a young mom.
Yeah.
And so what can the Lord teach me? Can I be humble enough to realize that maybe my strengths are going to be a little different and to serve Him? And I think going to the Lord and looking to examples is such a great way to learn and to learn more about ourselves. And I know that you did this with so many of the women you talked to. And the final woman you chatted with was Tia from Utah. Why Tia? What did you chat about with her?
Yeah, Tia and I go back to junior high, where we were both taking on art class. And even back then, in our early days of our friendship, Tia just always emulated this light, where she wasn't loud. She wasn't the most extroverted or the person that always was talking with everybody, but there was some sense of like peace and tranquility and just calmness that I always felt around Tia. And our friendship ended up reconnecting in college, and we went to BYU together, where we were able to take a few trips together with some friends. And, you know, that Tia way, that light that she just holds and how she carries herself is just so good and true. And even now that I've been graduated for a while, I've kept in touch with her through social media. And I know that she just recently graduated as well and was looking for job opportunities, which, as we all know, the job search can be tough and difficult, especially when you've spent so much time dedicated to study and be at school and work your booty off, you know, studying for classes, you know, you're like, I better find a good job, you know? So yeah. I know she was having a difficult time finding a job. And as she describes in this soundbite that we're about to play here, you know, it pretty much came down to one door or one job that ended up being the right decision for her.
I think Heavenly Father already had it figured out. Luckily, everything worked out and, you know, I have direction, but it literally came down to one door. And it wasn't the door that I wanted necessarily, but, you know, you just have to trust that He's already got it in order. And He cares about us so much. He knows where we need to be.
I mean, it came down to that one door, and it's a job that has, as far as I know from things I've seen and I've talked to her with, that, you know, she's excited about and that she just had to trust in, even though oftentimes when it comes to humility, you have to learn to let go. Have you ever been rappelling, Catherine?
Uh-huh.
So you would know. You would know, right? You have to let go. You have to trust. You have to trust that rope, and it feels like you're going to fall, but you have to know that it's holding you, that it has you, and that you'll be safe and everything will be okay. And to let go of the handholds and let go of the footholds and know that whatever happens will be okay. And for Tia, it just happened to be that one door.
Andrea, when have you ever had to do that? When have you had to let go?
Oh my goodness, Catherine, you're asking someone that struggles with perfectionism, which I think a lot of people in today's society struggle with that. But oh my gosh, when have I had to let go? I've had to let go a lot of things. And I think most recently, like one of the biggest things that I think that comes to my mind that I've had to let go my own perceptions of what I think is best or what I think is most, I don't know if you want to call it righteous. I got married a year and a half ago, and there's been a lot of things that we, I mean, when you first get married, you would know, Catherine, there's so many things you're trying to figure out. And you always think that your ways are always the best, and that your ways of doing things, even as little as, you know, the structure of, do we clean the dishes before we can relax, or do we clean the dishes after we relax, you know, or things as silly as that, you know. But that's the biggest thing that I've had to learn to let go. I've had to learn to let go of that control of always wanting things my way, or always wanting things to go and to be organized this certain way, and knowing that maybe there's other ways that can also work and that can be better. And even though they may not be what I'm used to, that's kind of what it takes. It's the wrestle. It's the wrestle. It's the wrestle with the people we love and the relationships we care about, because the things we want and the things that we believe are best maybe aren't always the best for someone else. But when you care about them, you make it work because you love them, and it's something worth fighting for. And I think that's so relatable with just about anything in life, but obviously those relationships we really care about and our families. Tying it back to Elder Koch's talk, I mean, that first example, that first story he shares in his talk about how, you know, this experience with his family where he had to learn to be humble. And what better place, what better experience to learn humility than when there are families? I see families as, I guess, the sense of purpose for humbling us, because it's imperfect people that we choose to love. And it is the imperfect people that choose to love us. And you can't walk away from them. I mean, you can, right? If you feel like you really wanted to, but it's not like you can, it's like a coworker where you can just go home and take a break. Or maybe you're upset at your friend and you know, bye for a little while. You don't text them, you know, but with your family, you want to make it better because it matters. And I think that's one of the big purposes for why we've been sent here with families, and to be taught that humility. That's where I've had to learn to let go, is the relationships that matter, which is my family.
Well, that's how God designed it. That's part of the plan, is that we are here in wards and families and communities with imperfect people. And he's designed to help us learn and understand humility. And as you've talked to these women and tried to dive in a little bit more to the importance of humility and why we need this Christ-like attribute in our lives, and how it can bless us and help us, what would be your one small and simple suggestion to help us understand the importance of this attribute and to be more humble in our lives?
My small and simple challenge would be, take a moment to say a prayer to our Heavenly Father, asking Him to help you see your potential and your divine worth. And I believe it is important now more than ever before, because it can get confusing out there. All the voices speaking up, it only makes sense for it to be so important to be confident in that, and to not allow the world to place the value on who it thinks you are or who it thinks you should be, but to allow that worth to come from a heavenly being that loves you, has an infinite amount of love, that has and has set up this plan for the atonement of Jesus Christ, which is also infinite, and to help you progress and have that infinite potential to shine that light, be teachable, and be humble.
So good. I would love to hear how people feel when they ask Heavenly Father how He feels about them, and if they can sense a greater purpose in their everyday life.
Yeah, Catherine, I'm with you. Let's hop on over to social and see what people are saying.
Make a mental note that new Magnify podcasts drop on Tuesdays. This is one way we're gathering and empowering Latter-day Saint women to be a significant force for good. And we'd love it if you would just hit that subscribe button on your way out. Thanks for being a part of us.